Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
Dental. They can get. They're suffocating through the worst air quality most of them have seen in their lifetimes. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney. Sorry to start off and kick it out this way, but we do it real here. And the truth of the matter is it is sad to see. It is though somebody just sprayed smog all over the West Coast, and it has faded away. And when I say the West Coast, we're talking tip to end. So Seattle, Portland, Los Angeles, San Francisco, some of the worst air quality anybody there has seen. And remember, these are places that deal with poor air quality often. You can't even see the Golden Gate Bridge. That's how awful it is. And really, if you take the fact that you've got 30 burning fires, you have a crazy amount of firefighters that are on the ground trying to put it out. In California, 16,000 of them. And even worse in other spots. I mean, this is insanity, my friends. It is very grim, I might say. And speaking of that, we're going to go to our pal Grim in just a second. And while that is happening in the West, and we'll get more specific about it, but while you have this smog fest going on, and we're 50 days from the election, you're also dealing with still numbers of the pandemic. And it's so crazy to me that people were calling for N95 respirator masks. Remember that? Remember the whole shortage thing in the beginning back in March? And now, why do they want them in the West? Because of the fires. That's what they're talking about. Oh, if I could just get a couple of those masks. And they're trying to get them to people that are in areas where they need them desperately. And the stories are sad about those trying to escape, but they just can't get out of the way of the flames, like those in Phoenix, Oregon. Just that town just burned to the ground, and they're sad. I mean, it'll get you teary-eyed when you start to hear the tales of people desperate to get out, trying to claw their way out, and there was just no way. They were surrounded by flames, and they were trapped for whatever reason, and those that got out just fled. They had a bathing suit on. They jumped in the car. They had whatever was on their back. That was it. There was no time to pack anything. So while that's happening, Mississippi, Alabama, Louisiana, they're getting ready to get smashed by a hurricane yet another one, Sally, that is turning into a hurricane, was a tropical storm, and the wall of water headed there is nasty. Grim, how are you?
Hey, I'm laughing.
Crazy.
Do you realize that we had one that sit out there and it did this wobble eye mess before? Now, the upper level are strong enough to keep this one going. But the last one we had, it got sheared away. If it keeps wobbling, this one's just going to dissipate. I'm telling you, there ain't nothing to it. It's really a joke. It hadn't really gotten over 100 mile an hour, if you want to know the truth. I've seen so many hurricanes, Kate, that this is really funny as can be. And I'm sitting here 8 stories up at Forest General Hospital, looking due south, less than 100 miles. I can't see a lot of lightning. I can't see, you know. It should really be storming.
Well, maybe you get lucky, but according to what the National Hurricane Center is saying, boy, you're not out of the woods yet because it's supposed to slam down. I'm looking at the map on Tuesday, and you're right. There is such a thing as being hurricane weary because you hear about them all the time, and they're always when they get built up to be super ferocious, and you hear about that, and then it doesn't happen. But I'm not so sure about this one. It looks nasty to me. I grew up in hurricane country, too, and I went through a horrible hurricane as a little girl, and it was scary. It was frightening. It blew off the side of the house, and I know what that's like. And so you do, too. You do, too, my friend, because you've been through the bad one.
I've been from Betsy all the way up.
Yeah.
This particular one, it's the upper levels that are keeping it alive.
Yeah.
Now, it's going to be a big, big rain event. No disregard on that. Which my biggest worry is people that try to protect their houses with trees surrounding. Well, the ground gets so saturated, it don't take but 15 mile an hour winds to blow a tree over into a house.
Yeah.
And that's what can happen here, but it's still staying out over what we call the marshland, which was what we really need is more marshland because that's what really destroys these things. And a lot of it has dried up down around the mouth of the river. That's what made Katrina and most all the hurricanes that come up through there so bad is no marsh grass. And I'm just saying, girl, that I don't think this is going to be that big of an event. It'll be a big rain. Now, when it gets about 300 miles in, look up the history of Frederick. That's where it would bother me more. When it starts to get up towards Birmingham, that's where I'd worry about tornadoes.
Oh, yeah, there you go. I didn't even think about talking about the spawns. That's what I call them, the evil spawns that are part of the process. Grim, feel better sitting there in the hospital and calling us. Thank you, but feel better, my friend. And I hope that it is just that wall of water that's being talked about where it's anywhere from 11 to 12 inches. But to his point, still disastrous because it soaks the ground up and trees can fall over. Stay with us.
Are you ready for what's next? It's likely coming. More food shortages, power outages, grocery stores closed, social unrest. Ask yourself, do you have enough food and supplies on hand to last at least 30 days? Most Americans do not, but you can. Avoid the panic of the last-minute rush. Order your 4-week supply of emergency food today from MyPatriotSupply.com. Starvation or dependency on the government are your only alternatives. Avoid those and the pain of being unprepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. Build your emergency food supply with meals that last up to 25 years in storage, shipped discreetly to your door. Folks that know what's coming are using today to prepare. There's time for you to do the same. That's MyPatriotSupply.com, the original Patriot Preparedness Company. MyPatriotSupply.com.
The battle of late stage or terminal illness is a fight that affects everything and everyone in your life. If you or a loved one are dealing with advanced stage conditions that are causing financial hardship, like stage 3 or stage 4 cancer, Alzheimer's, COPD, or ALS, then this message is for you. Our Funds for Living program make it a simple 3-step process. Text the word LIVE to 411-411 or visit fifthseasonfinancial.com/radio and we'll send you a link to get started. Choose the amount of money you need. Apply in seconds. That's it. And you're under no obligation. Fifth Season will advance a portion of your life insurance policy and take over your premium payments so you can provide immediate financial relief to the ones you love, all without any out-of-pocket expenses. Fifth Season Financial wants to help you live your best life. Text LIVE to 411-411. Text the word LIVE to 411-411.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again, now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
Hard. As somebody who travels so much, as you all know, taking this show to different places, whether it's Ireland or Grenada or wherever, traveling is part of my life. And there's something about the boarding pass and getting the boarding pass. So wait till you meet our next guests. We've got Betty Gossel and Karen Pickens. They wrote a book called, they wrote actually three books, but they wrote a book that we're going to talk about called The Boarding Pass. So ladies, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having us.
So I want to tell everyone, too, Betty's a mom and Karen's her daughter, and they ended up doing this together. And I had this great off-air conversation with Betty about this. So, Betty, let's start with you. What made you decide you were going to write this first book?
About 10 years ago, I had been on a job interview on the East Coast that had not really gone very well, and I was changing planes in Atlanta on my way back to the Midwest, and I found the boarding pass of the woman who had been in the seat on the flight before mine. And I remember thinking about her life and wondering what it was like and where she was going. And then I looked around the plane at the other passengers and started imagining stories about them. And a couple years later, Karen and I were talking about it, and we thought, you know what, that'd be a cool idea for a book. So it just kind of sprang from that.
And then, Karen, you get involved, and how did that work out? How did you break up the book? Did you do some chapters, right? That's what happened, and your mom did the others?
Yeah, we decided on doing 8 different characters that all sat in the same seat on the same day. And so she took 4 characters, and I took 4, and we each kind of put our own spin on those people and went from there. It was really interesting.
So what was it like doing the book with your mom?
It was really great. The outlining part and the brainstorming part was really easy. I think our minds work very similarly. I actually kind of expected it to be a little more difficult in the writing piece because our writing styles are very different. She has a very professional writing background and is very, you know, concise and to the point. And I'm more of a creative writer, so I tend to, you know, be more flowery and flowy with my words and stuff. So when we actually wrote our pieces, you know, mine would be three times as long as hers, and so we'd have to kind of meet in the middle, and I'd have to scale back a little bit, and she'd have to flesh hers out a little bit. But it was really an interesting process, like, trying to get on the same page there.
Yeah, Betty, so you just heard that. Was that fun for you? Because I have to tell you, my mother had the proper style. The whole thing was an English lit major, taught English, all of that. And I don't know if we could have done that together, but you worked it out. So you just had to sort of let that go, right?
Well, like she said, we did meet in the middle. We have a joke that she would describe the sunset and or a sunrise with these golden streaks were shooting across the morning sky, and I would say, yeah, the sun came up. But we did meet in the middle. I got a little better at it. The other interesting thing was we write very differently. I write in longhand on I take a legal pad and sit out on my deck or in a corner booth at IHOP, and that's how I write. Where she
and I almost exclusively, yeah, with my thumbs on my phone. That's how I do mine. So
Very different, obviously. So Betty, that this comes together, and then you decide, hey, you know, we got something here, and your friends just scoop it up, don't they?
Right. Originally, we were going to do 50 books for friends and family, and that was going to be it. And then it kind of snowballed into a couple hundred, and our family and friends and other people are like, no, we need more. So we decided to write a sequel, and we thought that that would be it. But people were really invested in our eight characters, wanting to know what happened to them after they got off the airplane. So we ended up doing a third book to tie up all the loose ends and to neaten it up a little bit.
I love it. So for you, Karen, you said it. You have these eight characters, and people, as your mom said, wanted to see, oh, gosh, what happens? So they get super, super invested in this. Did you get invested in this? Who was your favorite character? You have to have a favorite.
I was definitely surprised at how invested people got in them. I expected the first book to be the only book and that we would kind of leave it open-ended for people to make their own endings. But as we ended up writing a second and third book, I did become very attached to the character of Kristen, who I won't spoil too much about her, but she has a life that starts off very different from mine, but actually comes to mirror mine quite a bit in the end. So
yeah,
that was a surprise for me that she became so much like me. So.
Yeah, there you go. So Betty, for you, I know that you traveled a lot and you said that. And when you were in healthcare, you were traveling all the time. So you really understand the business of getting on a plane, of boarding, of doing the things that happen when you're in an airport. Did you love doing that or did you grow weary of it?
I had a love-hate relationship with it. I still love to travel. I started out before 9/11, and so that was a big changing point, all of the additional security and everything after 9/11. But I still love to travel. Sometimes the waiting for the flights and whatever and getting through the airports is a little daunting, but I do still love to get on a plane and listen to the safety speeches and buckle my seatbelt and get ready for an adventure. I still love it.
Karen, how about you as far as getting on planes and adventuring out to other places?
Oh, definitely. I'm a good traveler. I love to do it. And because of my mom's job traveling so many places, she actually was able to take me a lot of places with miles that she earned. And then even before that, we actually traveled to Europe twice together with my high school choir. So, I love it. I think it's really romantic. It has kind of a romantic feel to it, like going someplace that you've never been before.
Ooh, I like the way you describe that. So for you, Karen, what do you hope people take away from reading The Boarding Pass and your other books?
I definitely hope that they realize that the moments that they get to share with other people, you know, every single moment is really, really special. And then when you see a stranger, you never really know what situation they're going through and how those moments are different from your life and how they're also possibly very similar to your life. So I hope it, you know, helps them to have a little more curiosity about other people in the world and other types of people in the world, and, you know, just to be more open to what everyone else is going through.
Yeah, there you go. Betty, how about you? What do you hope people take away?
Well, much the same, just the curiosity and the compassion for others. Other people are going through things that we have no idea about. And, you know, to be nicer to each other, to not make harsh judgments about people. We have a wide range of characters, old, young, male, female, very different walks of life. But everybody has a story. And that's the main thing that I think about, is that everyone has their own story, and everybody's story is important.
Ah, so well said. All right, I got to ask both of you this question. This is a hard question. Are you ready?
Oh, no.
Karen, so your favorite place of all the places that you've traveled to, what's your favorite place?
Oh, my goodness. I'm gonna give you two. It's either the beach in Roses, Spain, where I watched the most beautiful sunrise I've ever seen in my life, or Morro Bay in California, where I spent an afternoon writing on the beach, and it was absolutely perfection. That's my favorite place.
Wow, I can't believe you said Morro Bay. I lived in Morro Bay, so I
really
totally know what you're talking about.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah. I've got this is a beach, people listening, where they had sand dollars all over the place, and I'd be the only person running on the beach, and I'd see these giant, they look like pancakes.
Wow.
You know, Betty was talking about IHOP. They look like pancakes. It was absolutely incredible. So, Betty, how about you? You heard what Karen had to say.
I'll say two, like her. One of them was Lake Tahoe. I was working in Sacramento, and I flew Karen out to see me, and we went over to Lake Tahoe for a dinner cruise out on the lake. And that was beautiful, watching the sunset over Lake Tahoe. And the other, I guess, was the day we spent in Venice. Her choir was singing, and we went to Italy for the competition, and we got to spend a whole day in Venice and ride the gondola and do the whole touristy thing in Venice. So that was a dream come true for me, because I'd always wanted to see that.
Wow, how funny. I love that I asked you both one place, and you both gave me two.
Yeah, so.
I understand. It's very, very hard. Well, it was delightful to talk to you, Betty Gossel and Karen Pickens, The Boarding Pass, Future Flights, and three books, actually, in total. What's the Wheels Down is the last book, right?
That's right. Correct.
Wow. Interesting. You can pick it up on Amazon.com. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thank you, Kate.
Thank you.
And thanks to all of you for listening to this version of the show as well.
Let's travel together in a hot air balloon, in a satellite with tripped out Icelandic beauties.
With a MechTech carbine conversion unit, you can turn an XD Family Glock or 1911 handgun into a carbine rifle in seconds and have it shipped right to your door, no FFL required. Now, MechTech is excited to announce our pistol carbine conversion unit. More compact with a 12-inch barrel and an arm brace, proving once again that MechTech is the world's most versatile handgun accessory. For a limited time, go to handgunconversions.com. That's handgunconversions.com, and use coupon code RADIO to receive $35 off any carbine purchase.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
You USA Radio News with John Hunt.
The World Health Organization's COVID-19 dashboard shows a new one-day record has been reached at 307,930 confirmed cases of the coronavirus worldwide. Daily confirmed cases have only topped 300,000 once before, when 306,000 were reported on September 6th. According to the WHO's figures, there have been more than 28,870,000 confirmed cases of the respiratory disease, while more than 921,000 people have lost their lives worldwide, including 5,537 yesterday. The WHO's chief said the average daily number of cases throughout the European region is now higher than it was during the first peak in March, citing the record 48,921 cases confirmed in Europe yesterday. This is USA Radio News. Average gasoline prices have now dropped over 3 cents in the last week, and John Clements reports.
That's the lowest level in several weeks. Patrick DeHaan of GasBuddy.com tells us prices could go even lower.
The national average remains 39 cents lower than last year's tally, and likely will continue heading lower as oil prices have plunged, surrounding concerns about oil and gasoline demand.
Requirements for summer gasoline blends will come to an end on Tuesday, ushering in cheaper to produce winter gasoline.
Aviation is amongst the industries hardest hit by the global pandemic, a reality illustrated as major U.S. carriers tallied another round of massive losses due to havoc wrought by COVID-19. U.S. Airlines reported a second quarter after-tax net loss of over $11 billion, double their collective $5.2 billion loss in the first quarter. The steep drop in travel has forced carriers to dramatically reduce their flight capacity and rendered tens of thousands more employees unemployed. This is USA Radio News.
Today, many of us are paying attention to our health, and what we eat plays an important role. But so often the water we drink is a mere afterthought when it should be a primary part of our daily nutrition. Real Water would like to change how you think about the water you drink and how it can play an important role in helping your body restore balance and reach its full potential. The key benefits of every bottle of Real Water are stabilized negative ions, balanced pH, detoxification, and it hydrates you like never before. And yes, it tastes great. Real Water is beyond alkalinity, and due to its proprietary process called E2 technology, it's the only drinking water on the market that can maintain a stable negative ionization, which means real science in every bottle. Order your Real Water today and take advantage of special pricing for this audience only by calling 1-855-REALWTR or visiting buyrealwaternow.com. That's 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com. Order now. 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com.
Boy, this woman has helped so many people. So we're thrilled to go to Victoria, Australia, and speak with Leonie Blackwell. And she's written this book that is a game changer. Listen to what I'm saying, a game changer. Making Sense of the Insensible, the 10 Injustices of Our Life Lessons. And, you know, she says, right when you crack open what people have written about this book, and when you crack open her book, you realize this, that, you know, have you looked into self-development books before on the market, but are you really looking to dig deeper and solve the mystery, solve the things that happen in your childhood that you carry through your life, those constant themes? And I cannot tell you, Leonie, how many people I have met where I can see those patterns. And I know for you, it must be constantly going off in your brain when you meet people, talk with them, and you've worked with clients, and you see that happening. So writing this book had to be like a labor of love for you, was it?
Oh, it totally was. And, you know, it was amazing to be able to find the language that people could hear their own stories within each of the injustices. That was a really powerful part of the process of writing and sharing what I was writing with my clients, and then having them just go, that's me. you're writing about me. It's like, yes, I'm writing about all of us, because all of us will have varying levels of experiences within those 10 life injustices. And so it became a beautiful experience and more exciting. And people kept saying, when's this book going to be published? When's this book? I really need this book. I need to sit here and go through this work and understand more about my life. So yes, it's been an absolute labor of love.
And you put it together and you see these things. You've been doing personal development workshops. I mean, you're an accredited practitioner with all kinds of courses. You've taught thousands of clients. You've worked through some of these things. So you put together Making Sense of the Insensible, and then you go through these lessons. For you, when you were putting the book together, did you visualize certain people and things that you had seen that we just talked about as these patterns?
Yeah, for sure. So one of the things I'd probably say is I'm probably a bit of a storyteller. So the raw notes were the stories of people's lives, the stories of the people that I worked with. And so I would actually sit there and read their stories, and then I would basically say, how do I share everyone's stories in such a way that anybody could read it and find their own story in it, rather than reading it as someone else's and feeling disconnected from it. They could read it and go, that's my life. And so often I would say to people, like, you know, some of the chapters would be like, yeah, that was that experience in life, do you mean? But people would go, well, I can't see it. It's like, no, because I've taken the core lessons and the experiences and made them universally shared, so it doesn't feel like someone's, you know, Kate, you wouldn't pick it up and go, oh my goodness, that was my session with Leonie that day. Do you mean? You would just go, wow, that's exactly how I feel, because people find themselves in the book rather than actually feeling like they're reading about somebody else.
Oh, I love that. Leonie, it's funny, you and I talked off the air for everybody listening across the country and all over the world. We talked about the injustice of deception, and I told you, for me, that's one that just would get me in the gut because of how I was taught and how I was raised. And what do you do if you have that the injustice you suffer from that of deception and it just gets you?
Yeah. And look, you know, heads up, as we said, it is a very deep and meaningful book. It's a book that you've got to be prepared to dive into, because it does explain where the patterns come from. And so for something like deception, most of us have been raised with, you must be honest. And so when we face a world that feels anything but honest, when there's trickery and deception at every turn, when we face and discover people that if we are vulnerable with them and we share our most vulnerable selves with them, they take that and use it and mock us. And, you know, a lot of social media, there are so many ways. I mean, they all talk about trolls on social media who, because they are faceless and they don't have to face the person and see the impact, they can actually be quite deceptive in the way in which they spread and share and do things. You know, a lot of cyberbullying is really its own form that comes under some form of deception. So by being able to understand where it comes from and what triggers us to feel that way, we kind of mentally understand the process. The very first step in healing is to understand mentally what is going on for us. The next step after that is to emotionally process it. And so it becomes really important, because we can't heal something if we don't understand it. And that's what this book definitely wants to do. It wants you to understand where your patterns have come from.
Wow. And that is key, because that's the key, as you keep saying, to move on. If you're moving forward, no reason, every day is a new day, living in the present, that you can change this, and this book can help you get there, and this book can certainly help you change it. And again, we're speaking with Leonie Blackwell. Her book is Making Sense of the Insensible, the 10 Injustices of Our Life Lessons. You can get this book on Amazon. Very easy. You'll find it there. Leonie, when, you know, at the end of the day, when people read this, as you said, they do the work. What is it you hope that they take away?
I really want them to feel the empowerment that comes from understanding it, realizing a lot of the times people feel like there's something wrong with them, that somehow they're flawed and faulty, that they don't really understand what it's like to be human. And that as a human being, we actually have these processes, there's these needs that we have that we want met. And when they're not met, our brain actually interprets the world through certain, you know, ideas and beliefs. And so that makes our life feel messy. It makes us feel messy. And so when we feel messy, we feel like we're flawed and imperfect. And so by reading the book, people get to understand where the patterns have come from, and then they don't feel so alone, and they don't feel so flawed, and they don't feel so imperfect. And so that's what I want. I want people to have that understanding to be able to go, okay, I'm actually human. I'm doing what is the normal way that my brain functions is just like everyone else's. This is what we do. Okay, I get it. Now I can either heal. And a lot of healing disappears just by mentally understanding it and stopping judging ourselves.
Oh, boy, that's it. Stop judging yourself. And we see that. I see that constantly on the motivational speaker side of my business when I'm out. You can imagine I see that, and people say that all the time, that whatever it is, and, you know, if you peel back the layers, you can find out that it trails back to something that they haven't dealt with. And you have just a plethora of resources, and we're going to talk about those in a second, But writing this book for you, it had to be incredibly gratifying because of all the people you've worked with, because of all the help that you've given people who have suddenly switched from thinking one way to another and it's changed their life. Was once you put this together and it was out there in the world, what did that feel like?
Oh, it was fantastic. I mean, to be honest, I collected all the data and wrote it over a 14-year period of time. And that's a long time for collecting it for a book. But what I found was in the early days, people kind of weren't quite ready for the depth and the explanation and the approach I was taking with it, because I was talking about how others treat us, how we treat ourselves, and how we treat others. That there's this, you know, trinity of interactions with people. So when people start to understand it and go, oh, that makes sense to me, tell me more about it, I knew the time was getting closer and closer to writing it. So watching, because I'm a bit of a watcher and I'm an observer of human beings, mm-hmm. So watching people grow and evolve and being open and ready for this kind of information was rewarding in itself, but finishing it and writing it and then seeing people buy it and read it and then come into their consultations with the book, and, you know, it's dog-tailed and it's got notes everywhere and they've got this, you know, plethora of ideas and like, oh my goodness, you've helped me make sense of my life. All that stuff that never made any sense to me makes sense to me now. And it's like, I called it the right thing and I've written it in a way that people understand themselves so much better. That was my goal. I achieved that, and it was just amazing to be able to do that.
I love to hear that. And you have great resources. The book you can pick up on Amazon, Making Sense of the Insensible, The 10 Injustices of Our Life Lessons. But you also have, Leonie, other resources for people. Tell us where people can find more of you.
Yeah, for sure. So I've gone on to write another book called The Box of Inner Secrets, and in that it's a whole a tapping method that actually literally is a conversation with parts of your brain that rewires your mind so you completely change these patterns and change your life. So as part of that, I've got a website called www.essenceofhealinginstitute.com. And on Facebook, you can find me in the Empowered Tapping group, where you'll get lots of resources on tapping to help work through these aspects of your life. There's lots of blog posts as well on my website where you can read more, where I've expanded more deeply even than what's in the book onto more strategies, more ideas. So there's all those options that are there. And yeah, there's lots of resources available that are offshoots from that website and the courses I teach. I do retreats in India as well. I'm even setting off to, when we're allowed to travel, I have lots of people interested to have me come to Canada and America and England to run the retreats I've been running in India for the last 4 years. So there's a lot of different ways. So you connect in through which, whether it's Facebook, whether it's Instagram, whether it's through online, and I can definitely keep you up to date with all the things and all the other resources that are available. But there's a lot of free stuff out there, and then there's other things like I've got a Tappers tribe. You can be part of a monthly group, and we've already got over 250 tapping scripts in there of different aspects and issues as well. And I invite everybody that works with me to make requests, and I help people fix whatever they need to fix along the way with all of that as well. So there's a lot of different resources out there.
That's terrific. Leonie Blackwell, thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me. It's been great.
SuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea helps regenerate new cells. Everything from the cells in our skin to the cells in our organs so they function properly. Great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a disease. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Attention radio listeners, if you're concerned about the coming chaos after the November elections, this will be an extremely important message. Here's why. No matter what the outcome in November, catastrophic social upheaval is a very real possibility. Here's why this is important. Listen, we all know that silver and gold have been historic hedges against the uncertain waves of social chaos and unstable currencies. But did you know that there's been times in the past, during times of extreme hardship, when Americans put another store of value above even silver and gold? It's true, open pollinated seeds have been and could very well be the ultimate store of value in the coming hard times ahead. Go to SurvivalSeedBank.com to get heirloom seeds below wholesale. Visit SurvivalSeedBank.com this week and get hundreds of dollars in free bonuses. Beat the coming chaos, beat rising food prices, but above all, don't wait. Beat the crowds by claiming your own Survival Seed Bank today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Symptoms of COVID-19, feeling sick, not knowing what's going on, and wind the clock back to a couple of weeks ago, and that's exactly what happened with Charlotte developer Clay Grubb. He's the CEO of Grubb Properties. He joins us to talk about that experience and a little bit about what I think he's doing that's tremendous, affordable housing. So, Clay, first of all, we're glad that you're feeling better, but tell us about what happened.
Well, thank you, Kate, and I appreciate you having me. And it was a very frustrating experience, I think is the best term. I actually was at a doctor's office in San Diego and started feeling weak, leaving it. I assumed it was all the tests they had done. I had a drink with a buddy that afternoon and dinner with a couple that's good friends of mine, and said, hey, I'm feeling dehydrated and weak. I'm going to go home early. I don't want to risk getting sick. And then went back to Charlotte the next day, had a fever the next night, and went in Friday morning and said, hey, I was with somebody on Thursday who would be vulnerable if I had COVID-19. I think I need to get a test. And they said, sorry, there are no tests.
Wow, no tests. So you hear there's no tests, and after you're feeling the way you are, and I can only imagine what you were thinking. What were you thinking at that point?
Very upset and frustrated because my daughter goes to NYU Shanghai, and some of our best friends live in China, so we had already lived the virus back in January. And so we're well aware of it and the fact that it was likely coming, and just the thought that we were not prepared as a country was shocking to me. I really felt like, you know, by the time it got to the United States, we would be so well prepared that we would be the examples of how to deal with this in the world. And unfortunately, we've been the exact opposite.
Yeah, boy, and what a personal experience having those friends in China, seeing what was going on, and your assumption that we're a capitalist society with the kind of minds that we have and the resources we have. Why would you possibly think that we would be in that situation, right?
Yeah, I mean, that was my whole shock, I mean, especially now you read that the CDC bureaucracy decided that, hey, only they could distribute test, and then the one test they distributed were faulty. Yeah, I mean, the reason capitalism works is because you let the private sector go after the problems and find solutions. And the fact that we are strangling our capitalist society was a shock to me. And it wasn't a huge shock because I deal with it in the housing business all the time. And just can't believe how draconian the bureaucracy is to our solving the affordable housing solution. But it just was very infuriating and upsetting.
So when you go through this and then you were sick, tell us what it was like being sick. What was that feeling like?
Well, so what was really interesting is the most contagious you are is the first 10 minutes in which you start to feel symptoms. And everybody I had dinner with in San Diego got it. They got an average of 3 to 5 days later. Fortunately, after my fever broke, when I engaged with all my employees and other folks, not knowing I had it, no one in North Carolina got sick. And so it shows kind of how contagious it is early on, and that, you know, it's not as contagious as time goes on and the fever goes away. And so, you know, there's a lot of information that, you know, is scaring people where, you know, I think we could be a little bit more just proactive in how we manage that.
Yeah, so what would be your advice to, you know, people all over the whole country are listening to this and we're seeing the numbers go up and we keep hearing about flattening the curve and washing hands and being diligent. I mean, would you echo those same things?
Absolutely. I mean, there's no excuse of not maintaining social distance and washing hands, but it's not like the boogeyman that's going to come out of the trash can and attack you. If you do those things, you know, 95% of us are going to be safe, probably even 99%. You know, obviously the most vulnerable need to do a lot more. But the healthy, that should be sufficient. And, you know, I think, you know, what's really infuriating, I'm going to go back to the test again, but just 2 weeks ago, here we're much more into it, I had a friend in New York City, had fever, had coughing, had all the symptoms, went into the hospital,
Wow.
He left, went down to another hospital, lied that he had been with somebody who had it, and tested positive, and only then did they give him the test. And sure enough, he had the virus. Mm-hmm. And so that's the thing that is getting me is that, you know, there's probably been 100,000 plus people in America that have had it that are still scared, and the reality is they're immune, and they can get out and get back into society and go back to work. And just the lack of information and quality information is the number one frustration for me.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, we're so glad that you're healthy. And I got to mention this briefly, and we'll have you back on and talk about this, but you are a Charlotte developer. I mentioned that you're the CEO of Grub Properties in Charlotte, North Carolina, and affordable housing. That's when you and I met a couple of years ago. You're so passionate about it. Where are you with that? What's going on there?
My book, Creating the Urban Dream, comes out April 21st. So,
hey.
Excited about that. It's been a long time in the making. And, you know, one of the things that we have really focused on was compassion for our residents during this downturn. And so we rolled out for everybody that paid rent by April 1st, you got a 10% discount. And we had 3,200 families take us up on that. Which is a record amount of payers even before the 5th of the month, and all of them paid on the 1st, and the letters that have poured in thanking us for helping them out in a time when, you know, they've been furloughed or their own fixed incomes has been really wonderful. And then we've actually decided for the remaining 30%, who probably are most vulnerable, if we can work with them to help them get their rent in April, we'll give them a 10% credit for May. And one of our biggest programs is that if you live with us over 5 years, we cap your rent increases from then on in perpetuity. And so we currently have about 400 families that are already paying a couple hundred dollars on average below market in their rent. And you know, those are folks that will be loyal and work with us to make sure as a landlord and investor that we're able to make our mortgage payments. And I'm happy to say that for April, we've collected 94% of our rents. When the headline yesterday was one-third of Americans had not paid rent for April. So that means the average apartment company has received 67% of their rents.
Mm.
And so we feel very fortunate, and I think that has a lot to do with how proactive and compassionate we've been with our residents.
I love it, and congratulations on the book. We're glad that you're well. Thanks for sharing your insights, Clay Grubb. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you for having me, and stay safe, Kate.
Thanks. Appreciate it. You too.
Coronavirus crisis continues. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Howdy Arco Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.